కొంచెం ముందు జరుపుతారా? లైక్ చేస్తాము
sanae garuda sana surakula keli nidana jaya jaya deva hare jaya deva hare amala kamala gala lochana he amala kamala gala lochana he Baba mo chanae Baba mo chana chipuvana buvana nidana Jaya jaya deva hare jaya 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 deva hare janaka suta pitta bhusana he Achita dusanae
Achita dusanae
Ajita Dusana Samara Samita Dasakanta. Jaya Jaya Devi Bahare. Jaya Jaya Deva Hare. Abhinava Jaladhara Sundara Hai. Ajita Mandara Hai. Trita Mandara Shimuka Chandra Chakora. Shimuka Chandra Chakora. Jaya Jaya Deva Hare. Jaya Jaya Deva Hare. Jaya Jaya Deva Hare. Tava Charanam Pranatavayam He. Tava Charanam Pranatavayam He. Iti Bhavaya He. Iti Bhavaya Kuru Kushalam Pranatesu. Jaya Jaya Deva Hare. Jaya Jaya Deva Hare. Jaya Jaya Deva Hare. Jaya Jaya Deva Hare. Jaya Deva Kaveri Dhamme. Shri Jaya Deva Kaveri Dhamme. Kuru Te Mudame. Guru Te Mudam, Guru Te Mudam, Mangalam Ujjvala Gitam. Jaya Jaya Deva Hare. Jaya Jaya. Jaya Jaya Deva Hare. Jaya Jaya Deva Hare. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Ram, Ram Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sita Kamala, Kucha Mangala. Sita Kamala Kucha Mandala Hai. Grita Kundala Hai. Grita Kundala Kalita Lalita Vanamala. Jai Jai Deva Hare, Jai Jai Deva Hare, Jai Jai Deva Hare, Deva Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shita Kamala, Kriksha Mangala. Kamala Kriksha Mangala Pita Kundala Pita Kundala Kalikala Lita Vanamala Rita Kundala Kalita Lalita Vanamala Jaya Deva Hare Jaya Deva Hare Jaya Deva Hare Jaya Deva Hare Jaya Jaya Deva Hare Jaya Jaya Deva Hare Mangala Deetam Ki Jai. Just one of these verses says, O Lord, we are bowing down before your lotus feet. Oh, please think of us in this way and kindly grant auspiciousness to us who bow down before you. O Lord Jayadev, O Lord Hari, all glories unto you. Hari Bol. So in this bhajan, we all sing together the first verse. That's like the chorus. I'll sing the other ones because you can follow me. But I'll sing the other ones because sometimes it's a little difficult pronouncing everything. Pralaya prabhu di jale duitaban Sanasi Vedam. Vitravahita Charitam Akedam. Vitravahita Charitam Akedam. Keshavadita Mina Sarira Jaya Jagadeshare. Now we sing it all together. Palaya Prabhuni Jale Vidava Asivedam Vidava Hika Charitam Akedam Keshapatita Vina Sarira Jaya Jagadesha Hare Keshapatita Vina Sarira Jaya Jagadesha Hare. I'll sing this. Siddhiha Vipulatare Kistatita Vakriste Garani Garana Kina Shakta Gariste Keshapatita Kulma Sarira Jaya Jagadesha Hare. Everybody. Palaya Prabhuji Jale Vitavana Sivedam Vitavarita Charitam Akedam Keshavadita Vina Sarira Jagadesha Hare. Vasavita sana sikhare garanita balata sasavita lanka galeva minata keshavadita sukhada rupa jaya jagadesha hare. Everybody, palaya Vitava Asivedam Vitava Hika Charitam Akedam. Don't sing, just concentrate. Keshavadita Vina Sarira Jaya Jagadesha Hare. Savakara Kamala Vare Nahatama Vidaha Shinnam Gavita Hiranya Kashibu Kanudhinam Keshavadita Nagamari Dhuva Jaya Jagadesha Hare. Haribo Malaya Parvati Jale Vidhava Ashvedam Vidhava Hika Charitam Akedam Keshavadita Vina Sarira Jaya Jagadesha Hare. Chalaya Siddhika Mane Valim Adhuta Vamana Padanakka Liga Janita Jana Pavana Keshavadita Vamana Rupa Jaya Jagadesha Hare.
charitam akedam esa bhajita vina saira jaya jagadisha hare sakya vrujira maye jagat apagata kapam Payasi payasi samita babatapam Keshavajita Vigupati rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare Balaya Aparodi Jale Ketavana Kinedam Vikravaita charitam akedam Veshavajita nina charita Jaya jagadisha hare Vitarashi shikurane Vipati kamaniyam Samukta Muli Balin Ramaniyam Keshavajita Rama Sarira Jaya Jagadisha Hare Everyone Kalaya Parodi Jale Vidhava Vahashiva-kushi-vishade-vasanam-jala-dhamam Alahati bhikti milita yamunabhya Kesha bhajita haladara rupa Jaya jagadisha hare Harimo Valaya parodi jale Vikravaita charitam akedam Keshavajita nina sarira Jaya jagadisha hare Nindasiya gervede ahaha shuddha jatam Sadaya hridaya dasita asujatam Keshavajita buddha sarira Jaya jagadisha hare Harito Valaya parodi jale Vitavani vedam Vitaita karita akedam Keshavajita nina sarira Jaya jagadisha hare Mulachanivaha nidane Kalayasi karavalam Mate kamiva kimabhi karalam Keshavajita kauti sarira Jaya jagadisha hare Kalaya paparodi jale Vidhavana sinedam Vikravaita charitam akedam Keshavajita nina sarira Jaya jagadisha hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Udarate jaganti bahate bhugulam udbibrate daityam darayate palim chalayate chatrashayam kurvate polastyam jayate halam kalayate karunyam atanvate malechan murchayate dasakritikrite krishnaya tubhyam namah. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, So, one important thing to learn about praying is never ask for anything when you pray. That's not a prayer. That's business. Give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that. That's not a prayer. A real prayer, we have to follow the great devotees, Prahlad Maharaj, Lord Shiva himself, Lord Brahma, Dhruva Maharaj, Priyavrata Maharaj, all the great devotees, Kunti Devi, Arjuna himself. A prayer means you glorify the Lord by glorifying his name, his pastimes, his qualities, his everything, his holy dhams, everything. That's a prayer. You'll see if you read Anamacharya, you read Tyagaraja, you read Narottam Das Thakur, you read Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you read Bhagavatam. The prayers are only glorification of the Lord. They're never asking for anything. The only people that ask for something are materialistic devotees. Now, they're still devotees, but they have materialistic desires. So those are not actual prayers. The prayer is when you glorify the Lord by his name, qualities, and so forth. So this is a prayer. O Keshava, O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of a fish, all glories to you. You easily acted as a boat in the form of a giant fish, just to give protection to the Vedas, which had become immersed in the turbulent sea of devastation. You don't hear, please, my Lord, I have a backache. I have to pass this test next week, please. I'm trying to close on this house, please. It's nothing like that. It's all about glorifying the Lord in his pastimes. O Keshava, O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, you have assumed the form of a tortoise. All glories to you. In this incarnation as a divine tortoise, the great Mandara mountain rests upon your gigantic back as a pivot for churning the ocean of milk. From holding up the huge mountain, a large scar-like depression is put on your back, which has become most glorious. Now, in the fish incarnation, as Matsya, there was a devotee named Satyavrati, and one day he was taking his morning ablutions in the Ganga, and he looked in his kamandalu, and there was a little fish. And the fish started talking to him. He said, "Dear sir," he said, "please don't throw me back into the water. The bigger fish will eat me." So he was a Brahmin, right? He was not a fisherman. Right? He was not a meat eater. So he took pity on the fish. He said, "Okay, I'll protect you." After a couple of days, the fish grew too big for his pot. So he transferred him into a little pond. After a couple of days, he was too big for the pond. He transferred him into a lake. After a couple of days, he was too big for the lake. Somehow or other, he transferred him into the river. After a couple of days, he was way too big for the river. Somehow or other, he got him into the ocean. After a couple of days, he realized, this is not a fish. This is some kind of incarnation of God. Because what little fish would become so big that even the ocean starts looking small for him? So he started praying to the fish. And the fish revealed to him that there was going to be a total inundation. And he wanted him to build some boat. And then Vasuki, the Deva's snake, would be the rope to tie the boat to Matsya. And then the light from the jewels on the head of the incarnation of Krishna as the fish would light up the darkness of the universe, and they would navigate through the universe and save the Vedas. So this proves several things. Point number one. If you're a pure devotee, Krishna can talk to you. But it's not like your Pentecostals. You know anything about the Pentecostal church? Well, in the Bible, after Jesus resurrected and then he did the ascension, he rose to heaven, the apostles of Jesus were confused because Jesus had given them the instruction, you'll spread this gospel all over the world to all the countries. And these people, you know, they were not linguists. They only knew one language or two languages. How are they going to go to all the different countries and speak all the different languages and preach to the people? So they were just praying. But Jesus had told them before they left that the Holy Spirit will guide you after I'm gone. So all of a sudden, something miraculous happened. The languages of different countries descended on the heads of the different apostles, and they started speaking the different languages. And then they were able to go out. So, are these like fairy tales, or are they true? Only devotees can understand these things. Non-devotees can understand. For non-devotees, it's all fairy tales. It's like Walt Disney. But devotees can understand. And we have seen, just this past week, we've seen something just as miraculous happen. I'll explain that later. So anyway, this is a real prayer where the Lord is glorified. We're not asking. The Lord knows what we want. He's in our heart. It's Paramatma. You don't have to tell him, I need this, I need that. He knows better than you what you need and what you don't need. So we shouldn't waste our time asking for anything. We should simply glorify the Lord and have faith that if Krishna is protecting us, there's not going to be any problem. Somehow or other, in some mysterious way, everything will work out. As long as our desires are pure and we have faith that he's the Supreme Personality of God. So today is the second anniversary of the arrival of Lord Venkateshwara here. For 2 years, Yasoda Dulal Prabhu and his good wife and his children have been serving the deities. That's a great accomplishment. We should all thank them for doing this. And now, we're going to all, just like when we wanted to have our temple in Saman, we all prayed. From this day on, we have to all pray every day that Lord Venkateshwara, Venkat means he destroys all sins. Venkat. Where is Venkat? Where did he go? Here? Does he know what his name means? Venkat means he destroys all sins.
Venkat Prabhu.
All sinful reactions. This is the mercy of Balaji. He descended in Kali Yuga because everybody's sinning in Kali Yuga. And he came specifically to purify people from their sins. Just by seeing him, bowing down to him, one becomes purified of sinful reaction. Venkat, you know what your name means? You know what your name means in Sanskrit? Yes. So today I'm going to explain a little bit about the history of Balaji. I mean, you've all seen this booklet. I read it myself again today, and I said, "Wow, this is a fantastic, you know, introduction to Krishna consciousness." So. Balaji is the name of the Lord of the universe, and it means that he's all-powerful. Balahinana. It's not that he has muscles. You know, of course, he's most powerful. You know, anyone who could kill Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu has got to be, you know, heavyweight champion of the universe, right? But he's all-powerful. Bala doesn't mean physical power. It can mean that in a loose sense, but in a strict sense, Bala means spiritual power. What is spiritual power? The power to transform someone from a Vishayi to a Bhakta. Vishayi means a sense gratifier, and Bhakta means a devotee who's dedicated only to pleasing the senses of the Lord. So that's power. You take, by the way, if you want to exercise that power, come with me next Thursday. I'm giving a lecture to an entire community of homeless people. Now, if you want to see sense gratifiers, right, on the lowest scale, right, you come with me. We've been taking prasadam to this camp of homeless people. And he gave me a great idea. We should definitely get my sweet Lord on wheels to go around and feed. There are a lot of homeless people. There are many camps now of homeless people around the Seattle area. Right? What do you do in wintertime? You know how cold and wet it gets? You have to come and see this camp. They're living in tents. Yeah, tent cities. Tent city in Kirkland, right? In Kirkland Congregational Church. I've been there twice. And I told him, look, I'm going to come, I'm going to explain to you people how you can get out of homelessness. He said, yeah, tell us. Yeah, we want to hear. I was explaining to him the Varnashram system, the same display and information we had at Ananda Mela, right? Because that's the way to transform dukkha to sukha, misery to happiness, poverty to prosperity, misfortune to fortune, by following the Varna Ashrama system for organization of society. And in modern society, it's the Daiva Varna system, God-centered Varna system, that people can actually do. The original Varna system, people cannot follow in this age. We're too fallen. But the Daiva Varna Ashrama, we're following right now in our temple, in all our temples around the world. And we're going to hear the difference between Daiva Varnashram and materialistic following of Dharma. There's a big difference. Unfortunately, throughout India, and even in South India, which is supposed to be the preserver of Sanatan Dharma in Kali Yuga, there's a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam that says that South India will be the place, and the South Indian people will be the people who will preserve Dharma in the age of Kali Yuga. It's in the Srimad Bhagavatam, written 5,000 years ago. But even in South India, it's very, very seriously undermined now by materialistic following of religion. And we're going to explain what that is. So, Balaji means that he is the reservoir of spiritual potency by which people can be transformed from sinners into genuine devotees. And he's situated on top of the Tirumala Hill. It's about 3,000 feet elevation. And Tiru, of course, means sacred, and Mala means a hill. And Tirupati, again, Tiru means sacred, and Pati means the husband. So, husband of who? Husband of Lakshmi. Tirupati means he's the husband of Sri Lakshmi Devi, and he's Lord Vishnu. So that reveals who he is, and then we're going to go deeper into who is exactly Balaji in the Vedic, philosophy. So on Tirupati, or Tirumala, Balaji is bestowing his blessings on sincere devotees so that they can attain their spiritual desires. However, spiritual desires are only meant to please Balaji. One should not confuse spiritual desires with material desires. There's a world of difference between the two. If you go to Balaji with material desires, you'll get something. But that's a short change. You know what short change is? You give someone $1, you ask for change, they give you back 80 cents. It's called short change. You're being short changed by getting the material desire. Because when you get the material desire, you have to take birth again to get it. So you're not being lived. The ultimate problem we have in life is birth, old age, disease, and death. Janma mrityu jaravya, the dukkha dosana darshanam. There's a dosha. There's something wrong with it. Why? Because it doesn't correspond to what we yearn for in our heart. We yearn for immortality. What does every demon want? Every demon is exemplified by Hiranyakashipu. What did he ask for when he finally did tapasya for 125 years and Lord Brahma appeared before him? He said, I want to be Amara. That, smart demons know. That's why there's chirogenics. The smart demons, like Walt Disney and others, they have paid, it costs $150,000 a year to be frozen right before death. And they keep you frozen until they solve the riddle of how to make people deathless. Of course, that'll never happen. And eventually they'll run out of money. When they run out of money, the capitalists turn off the electricity in a heartless way, you see. So, I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, do you want to be frozen? You think they're going to unfreeze you or thaw you out and then you're going to come back alive? Have you ever seen anything frozen? Like, you know, let's say a dinosaur was frozen in the Siberian, you know, tundra. And after 100,000 years, you know, some guy comes in with an electric heater and unfreezes the dinosaur. Did he start moving around? No, he's dead. So the whole thing is a crock. One of many crocks. But people have a lot of money. How can they spend their billions? But now there are more billionaires than ever in the history of the world. Right? Because of the stock market. And because of their ideas, their super apps. Billionaires, many, many billionaires. In fact, this is the best time. The best time in the history of the United States to ask people for donations. Everyone, there are more billionaires now than there's ever been in the history. And what are they going to do with all their money? You can't spend all, if you have $1 billion, you think you can spend $1 billion? It's very difficult. You know, some people say, I can do it. Yeah, they say that, but it's very difficult to spend that much money. Okay, anyway, material desires are for satisfying our own selfish interests. Spiritual desires are uniquely to please the Lord. So in the highly surcharged atmosphere of Tirupati, the Balaji temple is on the top of the Tirumala hill. When you go through the process of walking up or even driving up and then waiting in line, with the expectation of seeing the Lord and seeing all these enthusiastic people, Govinda, 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 you know, all of a sudden, you know, it's infectious. You just start saying, Govinda, Govinda, you know. Everybody starts saying it and they're waiting in line. It's going on for hours and hours. Even if you've paid to get in, it still takes an hour or two or 3 hours to get in, right? And then you have to wait in line. When I was in the Subrabhatam in the morning, you know, you still had to wait in line. And everyone was squeezed together, you know, maybe 400 people in that little hall in front of the college. And then you have to go through the line. And when you get there finally, unless you know somebody, or the privilege, you only get a short darshan. You know, and then you're pushed out, and then you're just going to walk around, you know. So anyway, it's infectious. The anticipation, the waiting, the patience, everyone saying, Govinda, Govinda, you know, and everyone's, you know, has this urgent anticipation to see the Lord. So what happens? It awakens feelings of devotion, bhakti, in your heart. Now, there's a difference between the mind and the heart. The mind is a subtle element. It's not the brain. There's a difference between the mind and the brain. It's a subtle element. And the mind receives the information from the other senses, the five other senses, stores it, like your computer has a memory, it stores it, and it makes quick decisions based on the senses. I like this, I don't like that. Just like there's a saying in my language, if you leave it up to your daughter, she'll either marry a rock star, a baseball player, or you know, some nonsense, another nonsense, right? Why? Because she's going to make a decision, quick decision, based on, oh, this guy, you know, made his eyes roll around, or his hairdo is nice, or he's sharp dresser, or he dances real nice, you know. Right? That's why in India, the parents choose the spouse, right? They don't leave it up to, and they have, you know, the astrological chart and everything to safeguard the, somewhat, basically to hedge their bet. How? Huh?
It's fasting.
That's what?
It's changing very fast.
It's changing fast. Yeah. Now there's, you know, oh, you know, he can do like this, Bhangra, you know. So the mind will make these quick decisions, you know, just like, you know, you read an article, you know, it says, so-and-so was caught, this politician was caught, immediately say, he's guilty. You don't know if he's guilty, right? You say, no, I feel he's guilty. I feel, that's the mind's quick decision. See? The heart is different. The heart is the seat of Paramatma and our soul. So the feelings coming out from the heart are different than the impressions, speculative impressions of the mind. Because Paramatma can actually speak to us, either instinctively, we have an instinctive feeling. If you have been trained nicely in your family, and they taught you what's right and wrong, when you start doing wrong, you feel a little bad about it. It's an instinctual feeling, not only coming from the training your parents gave you, but also from Paramatma in your heart. Because you've had some connection with Paramatma by learning what is right. So the feelings of the heart are different. Just like women, they see some man and immediately say, I don't like that guy. I didn't like the way he looked at me. You know, they can feel when men are not acting properly with them. They know right away. It's an instinctual feeling. And the same way, my brother once went to he went to buy a watch, right, in downtown Philadelphia. So he walks into the jewelry store, and there's a Jewish businessman, and my brother, he says, "How can I help you, sir?" He says, "I want to buy a watch." Said, "Oh, I got just a watch for you." Right away, my brother felt funny when he said that. It was too fast, right? I got just a watch for you. So he pulls out a watch, and my brother was looking at the watch, but another watch caught his eye. So he said, "Can I see that watch?" Oh, he said, "You don't want that watch." He said, "Why not?" He said, No, that's not for you. No, you're a man of refined taste. This is the watch for you." My brother, now that was the second red flag. So I felt very funny. He said, "Well, why can't I see that watch?" Said, "Okay, I'll show it to you, but I know you're not going to like it." So, you know, he's like preparing his mind, right? So he ended up buying the watch that he didn't want, right? Sometimes people are so persuasive that, you know, you just give in, right? He came home, and I said, "What'd you do today?" He said, "I bought a watch." I said, "Where is it?" I said, "I don't want to show it to you." I said, "Why not?" He said, "I don't like the watch." I said, "Why don't you like the watch?" So I didn't want to buy it. I said, "Why did you buy it?" I said, "I don't know. I'm nervous. Don't talk to me." So anyway, we should follow the heart, because we have a better chance of making a mistake. And we should purify the heart. That way you'll never make a mistake, because Krishna will actually speak to you. It's not like, you know, there was this one devotee, every time there would be an opening of the deities, he'd have a conversation with the deities. He'd go, like that. Yeah, that's all, that's pretend, that's nonsense. Speaking to you means he helps you make the right decision, even with imperfect information. Why? Like, for example, just recently, I'm going to give you a real example. Just recently, some person came, he's a devotee. And he was, right from the first second I met him, I had never met him before, he started talking about cow protection. And he said, "Do you believe in cow protection?" I said, "Of course, it's our dharma." I said, "Yes, that's my mission in life." So he kept talking and talking. I don't like people that talk too much.
right? Because obviously, except when it's a class, right? And he kept talking and talking, and I was saying, you know, this guy's a bit like a con artist, you know, he's too good at it. So in the end, he gave me a pamphlet, and I was going through the pamphlet, and on the back page it says, you can make 100% on your investment every 3 months. I was looking at that, and I said, now I know he's a con artist. I mean, can you make 100% every 3 months on an investment? Yeah, if you invest in bank robbers, yeah. But if it's a legitimate business, it's impossible. I never heard anything like that. No. Unless you're an inside trader in the stock market or something like that. So when I read that, I said, what's this? Oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you about this. You know, all the devotees are doing this. There's a very sincere devotee who lives in London, and he deals in foreign currency trading. Red flag. My best friend, Don Porterfield, lost his entire life savings by investing in foreign currency traders that are offshore. Big red flag. So I said, well, wait a minute, I'm going to stop you right there. I said, if you hand this pamphlet out to anyone in this congregation, I'll throw you out. I'll never let you back in again. He said, what do you mean? What do you mean? Don't you want to make money? I said, no, this is a con. This is cheating. You know, awesome. Cow protection, yes. You're going to make $1 million investing in foreign currency trading? No. It's complete speculation, and we don't accept it. I said, if I see you pan it out to one person, I'll throw you out. So, that's coming from the heart. There's some experience behind it, but still, how can you make so much money without working? In fact, it's sinful to make money without working. You know, we don't believe in making money without working. One must work honestly and earn an honest wage and learn to live within your means. You know, this you know, I'm going to become a billionaire overnight is not a good thing. It falsely inflates the ego, and a person develops very antithetical qualities to devotional service. Bhogaisvarya prasaktanam dayaparata chetasam. Vyavasat vikabhutihir samadhana vidyate. In the hearts of those people who are too attached to bhoga and aishwarya, sense gratification and material opulence, the resolute determination to take up devotional service does not take place. One's too busy making money. One's too busy spending the money on yachts and clothes and jewelry and houses and other houses and more houses and cars. And, you know, they get cluttered up with things. And the more things they have, the more attached they become to them. Therefore, there's very little time for spiritual life. Much better than that is to live a decent life. Decide what your level of material needs are, attain it easily, maintain it, and anything extra you use for para upakar, doing good to others by distributing Lord Balaji's prasad. There's a verse in Bhagavad Gita that says, manak prasad somyatman. Monam atma vinigraha. Baba samsudhir iti etat tapo manasam uchite. Austerity of the mind is manak prasada somyatma. Having a peaceful mind full of generous thoughts of how to do good in this world is attained by somyatma. Somyatma means no duplicity, being honest, being straightforward. What you see is what you get. What you hear is what will happen. Duplicity means, there's a proverb in my language that says, the tongue doesn't have a bone, therefore you can twist it any way you want. the tongue can say this, and the next minute it can say the opposite, right? Because it doesn't have a bone, right? It has no spine. But the spine should be honesty, right? And mona means gravity. One should not be frivolous in the mind. One should not be acting or speaking frivolous, nonsensical things. Just watch Comedy Central, full of nonsensical, frivolous things. And people, you know, call that entertainment. So they become also frivolous and nonsensical. Once you have gravity of the mind, what does gravity of the mind mean? You're perfectly realistic. You know that human life is like a drop of rain on a slippery leaf. Even a little bit of wind, the drop falls off. Our life is like that. A little valve in the heart doesn't work, you're dead. Right? You touch someone that has Ebola, and you have a little cut in your finger, you got Ebola. Why is it that so many people in Africa are getting Ebola? I asked this question to the number one microbiologist in the state of Washington. He's an Indian gentleman, very nice man. He comes to our temple. I said, Prabhu, how come so many people are getting Ebola in Africa? How come it's spreading so contagiously? He said, that's a good question, he said. Because in Africa, at least the parts where it's spreading very fast, when a person dies, all the family members have to wash the body, some custom that they have. That's how they're getting it so quickly. Because you just come in contact with the Ebola virus, right? And you have some little cut, like I have a little cut right here, you know? Right? That's enough. You can get the virus. And now they're saying it's airborne. It's possibly airborne. It's extremely contagious. Okay, but anyway, materialism is more contagious than Ebola, and it's a more dangerous disease. Believe me. Yeah. Okay, so one should not be duplicitous, samyatma. One should have gravity of the mind, meaning the mind should be thinking about self-realization. The mind should be thinking. Self-realization has a bigger meaning than just myself or yourself. Self-realization means you know the difference between yourself as a soul and your body, which is material, and the material nature. Secondly, second level of self-realization, you know the difference between yourself as a minute jiva, spirit soul, and Paramatma, the supreme soul, expansion of Krishna. And number three, you know that Krishna is the origin of Paramatma, Jivatma, and Prakriti, the material world. That's called self-realization. It's not just, oh, now I know myself. I'm a transgendered... No, that's not self-realization. Self-realization means you know these four things, four levels, and you come to that fourth level. That's why Krishna says, Aham sarvasya prabhava matak sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajantema buddha bhava samanditaha. I am the origin of everything material and spiritual. A person who knows this dedicates their life to serving me by engaging in devotional service. Okay, so another name of Balaji is Govinda. What does Govinda mean? It means that the Lord is the object of pleasure for the senses of all living entities. What does that mean exactly? We experience joy and satisfaction by seeing and serving the beautiful form of the Lord. That's what it means. By serving the Lord, He is the reservoir of pleasure. He is the ultimate reservoir of pleasure for all the senses. Right? So, if we please the Lord's senses, our senses will be pleased. Why? Because Sarvapadi Vinir Muktam Tat Parat Vena Mirmalam Hrishikena Hrishikesa Sevanam Bhakti Uchite. One engages in devotional service when they're free of all the Sarva Upadis, false designations. I am a Western Washingtonian. No, I'm a Middle Washingtonian. No, I'm an Eastern Washingtonian. No, all those are false. You know, I'm Telangana. I'm Andhra. I'm, you know, I'm Khalistan. No, no, you're Hindustan. No, I'm not Hindustan. I'm Khalistan. You know, these are all false designations. Right? So one must be free of all of them. I'm a rich guy. I'm a homeless guy, but I love Jesus. Okay, good. We're happy you love Jesus. But your identity is not you're a homeless guy. See? So, then, Hrishikena Hrishikesha Sevanam. The Lord is Hrishika Isha. He is the Lord of all senses. In other words, the senses we have, the things that help us achieve our goals in life. Eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and skin. They actually belong to Krishna. And the body that goes along with those senses. There's a differentiation between the senses and the body. Although the senses are integrated into the body, right? But it's like you buy a brand new Tesla car, but it doesn't have a battery. Well, wait a minute. That's dangerous because it doesn't have a motor either. The motor is the battery in the Tesla car. If it doesn't have a battery, it's not going anywhere. And if you don't have eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and skin, you're not going anywhere either, even though you have the rest of the body. So the senses are the instruments by which we can satisfy our desires. But that's not the real meaning of the senses. We have senses, we have body, we have intelligence, we have mind. In order to please Krishna's senses, that's what that verse says. Once we become free of all false designations, I'm this, I'm that, and we understand that this body, these senses, our energy, our money, our everything actually belongs to Krishna, then we're properly situated, free from the false ego. Then we can act effectively in this life for self-realization. Otherwise, with the wrong understanding of who owns these senses, who owns this body, who owns us, we will make many mistakes and get mired in the repeated cycle of birth and death. So, rather, the Lord, as Govinda, is the ultimate source of pleasure or the fountainhead of spiritual ecstasy for his devotees. Govinda also means the Lord is the well-wisher and protector of cows, Brahmins, and living entities. So Lord Balaji is famous because he can extricate people from misfortune. And another name of Balaji is Venkateswara, meaning he's the Lord that delivers us from all sins. Okay, so the Lord appeared in the Kali Yuga, this age, that began 5,000 years ago. And it all started in the Naimisharanya forest, when Suta Goswami was speaking to 60,000 sages that were assembled there to figure out what we're going to do to help the people in Kali Yuga that's going to start imminently, or very shortly. Because they knew that in Kali Yuga, lifespan is short, people are lazy, they're not very intelligent, they are always troubled, and they're unfortunate. How are we going to help these people? Well, to read the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's by hearing the Bhagavatam from a pure devotee. But in the story of Balaji, it's that the Lord is going to appear in this age on the Tirumala Hill, and he's going to deliver people from their misfortune. The Lord can appear anytime you want, in any form he wants. And every time he appears, Paritranaya Sadhana, Vinasaya Chidaskantam, Dharma Samstap Padartaya, Sambhavani Yuge Yuge. He appears to deliver the devotees, annihilate the miscreants, and reestablish the principles of religion or Dharma. So Narada Muni, he assisted at the meeting in Naimisharanya, and he heard the sages. They were saying, you know, what are we going to do to help these people? And Narada Muni said, look, if you're really interested in helping the people, understand that they're bewildered by material desires. You're overwhelmed with material desires. And there's going to be rampant pollution and sin everywhere in Kali Yuga. They spoke this 5,000 years ago. Is there rampant pollution? Yes. Is there sin everywhere? Yes. Right. And he said, what hope will they have? He said, we should pray for a special incarnation of the Lord to be somewhere on this planet to facilitate the living atheists in the development of pure love and devotion. So, therefore, Narada Muni received the assignment somehow or other by his creative genius to bring about the descent of the Lord in this Kali Yuga. So, what did he do? He spoke to the sages of Naimisharanya and he told them, look, let's pray for the Lord to descend. Prayer works when it's done sincerely. Not prayer for my personal benefit, but prayer to further the plan of the Lord, to assist in the plan of the Lord, to somehow or other do something to advance the program of the Lord, the agenda of the Lord. What is the agenda of the Lord? To free everyone from birth, death, old age, and disease so they can all go back to Godhead. That's what his plan is. Why? Because he's our original father. Sarvayomi sukonteya murtaya sambhavantiya. Tasam brahma mahadyonir aham bija pradapita. He's the seed-giving father of all living entities. We all are in the same family because we have the original same father. So, but unfortunately, foolish people cannot see the Lord or his expansions because they're too blinded by materialism. And Mayavadi or impersonalists also don't really see the Lord. They're blinded by their personal desire to merge into the effulgence of the Lord. So therefore, we need something that is dramatically present. And that's the incarnation of the Lord in the form of the deity. In Kali Yuga, deity worship and performing Sankirtan are very important. The deity helps us to have a personal understanding of the Lord and a person to whom we're responsible. And chanting the holy name of the Lord is glorification of the Lord. You see, it's made easy for us. You don't have to learn complicated Sanskrit verses. You simply have to chant the names of the Lord sincerely, and he's pleased. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Iva Kevamam. In this age of Kali, there's no other way to achieve freedom from the cycle of birth and death except by chanting the holy names of the Lord. Harir Nama. Harir Nama, the cable on, it's the only way. Therefore, Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma, Bhagavan, Ishwaro Hari, Shrotavya, Kirtitavyascha, Smartavya, Chichat, Abhayam. In this age of Kali, this my Bharata Sarvatma, O King, speaking to Parikshit Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami speaking to Parikshit Maharaj, he says, the sure way to be free of all anxiety and fear is by chanting the names of Hari, remembering and hearing about Lord Hari and remembering Lord Hari. Smartavya, Chotavyas, Kirtitavyas cha, Smartavya, Chechat, Abhayam. One becomes Abhaya, fearless. If they engage in this hearing about the Lord, chanting and remembering the Lord. So, these are the things that happen when you go to Tirupati or any bona fide temple. You'll hear about the Lord. You'll chant the Lord's name. Govinda, right? One day I went there. There must have been about 1,000 Brahmins in the line. And they were all chanting different prayers, glorifying Balaji. It was very nice. They were waiting, you know, you wait hours in line. They were waiting patiently. They were all chanting different prayers to glorify the Lord. So you hear about the Lord, you chant the glories of the Lord, and you remember the Lord. So, therefore, how do we understand the Lord? You cannot understand the Lord as long as we are influenced by the modes of material nature, sattva, rajas, and tamas. This is explained by Krishna. And he says in the seventh chapter to Arjuna, Tibir gunamayer bhavir abhisarvam idam jagat mohita nabijananti mam ibyam param avyayam. He says, deluded by the three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance, the whole world does not know me, who am above the modes and inexhaustible. So, in order to understand who Balaji actually is, in order to understand our relationship with the Lord, we must rise above the influence of the modes of material nature. Otherwise, it's very, very difficult. At least we must come to the mode of goodness, sattva guna, to begin to understand something, and by regular practice of devotional service, rise up the Visuddha Sattva, transcendental goodness. Then we can understand the Lord. Mam chayo vibhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunam samatityayata brahmabhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in devotional service full-heartedly and does not fall down under any circumstance, sagunam samatityayata, he rises above the influence of the modes of material nature, brahmabhuyaya kalpate, and comes to the level of Brahman. What is Brahman? Brahman means there's no more sochati and kanchati. No more lamentation because we lost something, because our 401k went down or our house went down or something, right? And no more hankering. Oh, I want a better job. Oh, I want another wife. Oh, I want a bigger house. You know, these two things are a description of material life. Lamenting for something you've lost and desiring for something you don't have. People go on the seesaw their whole life. They never get off the seesaw. Therefore, they're never happy. Like, if I'm always desiring, I want money, I want money. And all of a sudden you get a lot of money, then you say, I don't want to lose the money. I don't want to lose the money. Both ways there's anxiety. All right? But that's why Napoleon said, money is a good servant and a bad master. If Napoleon was a smart man. Well, he's not that smart. But he had some good granny wisdom. Actually, a lot of proverbs are attributed to him in France. So, Krishna says, he who engages in my devotional service, pure devotional service, and is free of all contaminations of fruitive activities, meaning all materialistically inspired activities. That doesn't mean you don't act. They're spiritually inspired activity. Like going to Tirupati is a spiritually inspired activity. Coming to the temple, offering your service at the temple. Oh, they're all spiritually inspired activities. But who's free of the contamination of materialistically inspired activities and mental speculation, he who works for me, who makes me the supreme goal of his life and is friendly to every living entity, he certainly comes to me. So this is the formula for pure devotion and for pleasing the Lord. The last verse, mat karma krin mat paramo mat bhakta sangavarjita nirvairak sarvabhute su yasamam eti pandava. So Krishna is explaining to Arjuna, just like he would explain to his own son. Arjuna is better than his son. He's his devotee, right? Bhakto sime sakha cheti rahasyam hirtad uttamam. Krishna tells him, because you are anasuya, you're not envious of me, and because you're my friend and you're my devotee, therefore I'm going to explain this most secret of all secrets to you. What is the most secret of all secrets? Rajaguyam, Rajavidya Rajaguyam, Pavitam Idam Uttamam, Patyakshavagamam Dharmam, Susukam Kartam Ajayanam. This is the king of all knowledge, Rajavidya. Rajaguyam, it's the king of all secrets or mysteries. Pavitram idam uttamam. It's completely pure and is uttama. It's above all ignorance, above the influence of the modes of material nature. There's no There's no mixture of, on one side, I want something, the other side, please, my Lord, I'll give you back something. There's no business. It's not like green card biology. Visa biology. Chittagong. Green card biology.
Then you live in here.
No. No. Bellevue is make an app and become a billionaire biology. Everybody wants to make that app by which they make $1 billion, right? Huh? Everybody's got their visa here, brother. Don't worry about it.
No, visa for Vaikuntha.
Oh, visa for Vaikuntha. Yeah, that's different. Yeah. So Krishna says to Arjuna, being purified by spiritual intelligence, controlling the mind with determination, giving up the objects of sense gratification, being freed from attachment and hatred, one who lives in a secluded place. Secluded place means a spiritual place. So your home can be a secluded place if you have the deity in your home. And in other words, if the deity is the Thakur of the house, not the television and not the computer and not the cell phone, but if the deity of the house is Thakurji, then your house is a holy place. And if you live appropriately serving the deity in your home, your house becomes like a Tirtha. Right? So living in a secluded place, who eats little, more people have died by overeating than by undereating. Nowadays, in the United States, obesity is considered a disease. It's a rampant disease. 46 or some huge number of people in this country are obese. You see them, you know, in Costco, you know. You're getting these big boxes of junk cereal. I mean, big boxes of instant mashed potatoes. You know. All of denatured food, you know. And then the good stuff is just a little bit of it, you know. All the bad stuff is, you know, big boxes. Right? I went to someone's home in Portland. He said, probably you have to help me. I said, what's the matter? So my kids are always getting sick. Yeah, I got an earache. When the earache's over, they got a cold. When the cold's over, they get a cough. When the cough's over, they get an infected eye. When the infected eye is over, they have a stomach problem. When the stomach problem is over, you know, he said, it never ends. He said, tell me what to do. I said, well, walk me around your house. Let me take a look at your house. He said, what for? I said, I just want to see the house a little bit. So I walked around the house, you know. And in the kitchen, they had this huge Costco box of cornflakes. I said, aha! He said, what is it? He said, it's that. So what do you mean it's that? It's that big box of junk cereal. So how is it junk? It says it's got vitamin A, it's got vitamin D, it's got vitamin this, it's got that. I said, yes. If they had to add it on into it, that means it's junk. And whatever they junk, the vitamins are also junk. Huh? 35% what? 35% of it. It's a big number. 35% of the population is obese. That's why there's diabetes, heart attacks, and so forth. So, then it says, who eats little, and who controls his body, mind, and power of speech, who is always in trance, and who is detached. Always in trance means they're always thinking about serving the Lord and how to improve the service to the Lord. Doesn't mean they're like, you know, they smoke medical marijuana and they're in a trance. They're stupid. That's not what it means. No. And then, free from false ego, false strength, false pride, lust, anger, and falsely accepting material things as their own, everything belongs to Krishna. So we can be a steward of Krishna's property, but that means we have to know how to use it properly in the service. But if we say, no, this is mine, aham mameti, well, that begins a problem, because that's a false attachment. But if you say, Krishna is giving me this, and I'm very fortunate, just like sometimes a person says, God has blessed me with good intelligence, God has blessed me with a good wife, or a good husband, or God has blessed me with material opulence in my life. Therefore, you recognize who it belongs to, and then you learn how to use it properly in the service of the Lord. That's real education. And then, free from false proprietorship and peaceful, such a person is certainly elevated to the position of self-realization. How do we develop these properties? By always being in the association of the Lord. The Lord is the taker of the house. The Lord is the taker of my body. The Lord is the taker of my mind. Whatever I shouldn't do in front of the Lord, I shouldn't do anywhere. Because the Lord is in my heart. That's Paramatma. He's Upadrasta, the overseer of everything I do, because he's present in my heart. He's closer to me than any family member. He's closer to me than anyone else. Therefore, I should have consciousness of this and act appropriately. Just like once I was in Morocco, in a small town called Marrakesh, I was walking down the street dressed like a devotee, and a young boy was walking past me. He couldn't have been more than 10 or 11 years old. So I stopped him. I said, "Shuhaida," which means in Arabic, "What are you doing?" He said, "What do you mean, what am I doing?" He said, "Who are you?" I said, "I'm like your father." He said, "You're not my father." I said, "I'm like your father." He said, "So what?" I said, "What? Why do you have a cigarette?" He said, what's it your business?" I said, "Answer the question. Why do you have a cigarette?" He said, "Because I like to smoke." I said, "Do you smoke in the mosque?" He looked at me like that. He said, "No." I said, "Why not?" He said, "Because Allah is there." I said, "But Allah is everywhere." And he was a little bit shocked. He looked at me, he looked at the cigarette, he dropped the cigarette. If there's something you don't do in front of God in the temple, why would you do it outside of the temple when God is present everywhere? This is called education. This is called consciousness. This is why what we're trying to teach our young kids. This is what we're trying to learn ourselves. Therefore, when you become transcendentally situated, we realize the presence of Krishna and we become joyful. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma, na so chitina kansati, samak sarve subhutesu, madbhatim labhate param. The first symptom of someone who's self-realized, and self-realized in the big sense that I explained, right, is prasanatma. They feel very, very peaceful and satisfied. Satisfied by virtue of acquired knowledge and renunciation. Not by acquired stocks and interest. No. By acquired knowledge and renunciation, one becomes very satisfied, prasanatma, and peaceful in the mind. And Brahmabhuta prasanatma, na sochati na kanchati, no more lamentation for what we've lost, no more hankering for what we don't have. Samak sarve subhutesu, and equally disposed to every other living entity, from the ant up to Lord Brahma, including all the demons and rakshasas. One is Advaista Sarva Bhutanam. One that does not become the enemy of his enemy. He's friendly to all living entities, even the enemy. So, then one can attain the pure devotional service of the Lord. Because one rises above the influence of the modes of material nature, develops all these wonderful qualities, and practices what he preaches. If someone like, let's say you're someone like Durvasa Muni. He is a perfect yogi. He's mastered all the siddhis. Again, he's got an anger problem. Right? He gets very angry easily and he curses people. Therefore, when he tried to do that to Ambarish Maharaj, he lost because Ambarish Maharaj was not a perfect yogi like him, but he was a pure devotee. So therefore, the purity of a devotee is the real force. It's not the cities. It's not money. It's not prestige. It's not notoriety. It's the purity of the heart that is the real force in this world. Okay. So we begin to understand who God is by studying His words. His direct words are Bhagavad Gita. And the words spoken about him is Srimad Bhagavatam. If we study these two books, we will know who Krishna is, only if we hear them from a genuine devotee and we put them into practice by engaging in regulated devotional service or sadhana bhakti. Then we'll begin to understand. Because sadhana bhakti guarantees that we come, rise up at least in a mode of goodness, and we get on track to go above goodness to transcendental goodness by following sadhana bhakti, which means the rules and regulations of devotional service. So it's, spiritual knowledge is not achieved by academic study. Okay, so Narada tries to satisfy the sages, and what happens? He says, look, we're not going to be able to please God unless we know who God is. So let's discuss who is God. So all the sages started discussing. One said, God is Lord Shiva. Another said, no, it's Lord Brahma. Another one said, no, it's my grandmother. You know, they got nowhere like that. Right? Someone says, Lord Vishnu. So Narada said, look, we got to determine. Is it Brahma, Shiva, or Vishnu? We know it's not your grandmother, idiot. You know. So, they deputed Bhrigu Muni, who is the son of Brahma, the brother of Lord Shiva, and number one Brahman devotee of Lord Vishnu, right, to go and visit Brahma at on Brahma Loka, Shiva on Mount Kailash, and see Lord Vishnu, who is present in the Vaikuntha planet that's in the material universe, which is called Svetadripa. In the middle of the ocean of milk, on the eastern side of Mount Meru, in this universe, there is a Vaikuntha planet. It's called Svetadripa. And there is the Paramatma, incarnation of the Lord. There's three type of Vishnu incarnations in the material world. Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshay Vishnu, and Shiradakshay Vishnu. Shiradakshay Vishnu is present on Svetadvipa as well as being present in the heart of every living entity and in every atom of the universe. Lord Balaji is Shiradakshay Vishnu in Svetadvipa. Okay? So Bhrigu Muni goes to Brahma Loka, but he's going to test them to see. How do you test a person? Let's say you're going to hire someone, right? You're a headhunter, and you're trying to hire someone for a corporation. How do you test them? Well, you have to test their competency in the particular field that that they claim. Like, let's say they're an expert in a certain type of programming. Okay, you're going to test that competency. But is that the only test you do? No. Okay, here's a guy who's doing that. How did you determine who you're going to hire? What were you testing them? Only for their academic proficiency? No? What did you do? Say out loud to me. How he interacts, right? What do you do?
Criminal background check.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So, how he interacts with other people, is how he acts under stress, you know, all these things, right? So, therefore, the qualities of a person are determined by how they interact with others. You can't, if someone stays, if an idiot remains silent, you might think he's intelligent. Right? But as soon as you say something, you know that this guy's an idiot. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Right? You only know through interaction. You don't. So that, therefore, you have a pre-employment interview, and sometimes the interview can go on over several months, maybe 6 months, where there's frequent interviews, and each time they're looking for something else. They haven't decided yet, right? So therefore, a person who develops these good qualities of a devotee will be successful in anything they do, materially or spiritually. becoming free of hatred, of kama, krodha, lobha, moha, matsarya, yeah, and mada. These are the six things that bind us in the material world. Lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, and madness. So, you have to, like, let's say you want to pick a husband for your daughter, right? What are you going to look for? You tell me, you have a daughter. What are you going to look for? Right, that doesn't mean anything, Prabhu. There are three levels of devotees, and there's also false devotees. So don't just say devotee. What are you going to look for? No, you have to look at the lakshana, the qualities. What qualities are you looking for? He's a good dancer. What are you going to look for?
Good education.
Huh?
Good education and good conduct.
These principles that we're talking about. Yeah. You find a person like this. Why does Lakshmi love Narayana? Why? Because he's perfect gentleman. Speaks sweetly. He's always gentle. He's always kind. There's no lustiness. There's no greediness. There's no anger. Right? She can't leave. She loves him so much she can never separate herself from his breast. So, Brigha Muni comes. So he's going to test. By the way, ladies, how would you feel if your husband was like that? Okay, you don't have to answer. You answer. This is the school for that. This is the school. The temple is the school. If people take it seriously and they listen, right? Shrotavya, kirtitavyascha, smartavya, chichat, abhayam. You have to regularly hear, repeat, chant the glories of the Lord, and remember. Remembering is the hard part. Hearing and chanting, you can do somewhat, but remembering. Remembering means you actually heard. Repeating and glorifying the Lord means you've actually understood. Right? Then you can remember. So, Brigha Muni tests Brahma, his father. Brahma is so happy to see his son, Brigha. Oh, Brigha, I'm so happy to see you. Zip, nada, nothing. He doesn't say anything. He just stands there like a stone. Doesn't interact with his father. And it was very uncomfortable for Brahma. Because when you see someone respectable like Brahma, doesn't matter if you're his son or not, you always have to speak words of praise. And offer your obeisances, offer your humble respects, and offer some word of praise, right? Nothing. He didn't go like this. He didn't say anything. And then Brahma is not stupid. He's very smart, right? He's the smartest person in the material universe. He really immediately picked up that this guy is being disrespectful to me, even though he's my son. And he got really upset because he is slightly influenced by Rajas. Rajasic passion, right? And he didn't become violent, but he was on the verge of it, but he caught himself with his intelligence. Stopped himself. See, this is the symptom of a devotee. A devotee always thinks of the corollary or collateral effects of what he does before he does it. Not only a devotee, any intelligent person will always think of the collateral effects of their act before they do it. They measure. They weigh it. If I do this, then this person might be affected like that. That person might be affected. Should I do it? You know, you don't want to have a pheric victory. Pheric victory means a victory in which it causes tremendous damage to you and the enemy. And in the end, if you do the credit and balance sheet, it wasn't worth it. Right? Why do you think the United States, when they went to war with North Vietnam. Why didn't they use the atomic bomb? They used it against Japan. Why didn't they use it against the... And as soon as they started using the atomic bomb against Japan, Japan surrendered. Why didn't they throw 3 atomic bombs on North Vietnam? Because they didn't want to win the war. And also, if they did that, I mean, Japan was a noble enemy. I mean, when I say not noble, but they were a formidable enemy, right? They were a country with a big navy, with a big army, with big armaments and everything. Germany was a formidable enemy. North Vietnam, they had bamboo shoots. They were fighting in underground caves, right? Jungle warfare, guerrilla warfare. They were underfunded, right? So they didn't really want to win the war. They had some other... Actually, Prabhupada revealed they wanted to stop the hippie movement. So they sent... So because at that time, I was drafted in the army at that time. Right? They were drafting everyone. Doesn't matter whether you want to fight, you don't want to fight. Doesn't matter whether you're a dope head or whatever. They drafted it because they wanted to stop the hippie movement by drafting the kids into the army and sending them to be cannon fodder in Vietnam. And they purposely did not try to win the war. They could have won it overnight if they wanted to. They could, today, they could wipe out ISIL if they want to. They could bomb them into oblivion if they want to. They're not going to do it. They bombed Germany into oblivion. They bombed Japan into oblivion. They didn't do it to North Korea. They didn't do it to North Vietnam. They're not going to do it to ISIL either. Welcome to political reality. Right? So, Brigham Muni, he leaves Brahma because he said, how can he be God if he's influenced by the mode of passion? Because it says here, Chibir Gunamaya Bhavir, Ebi Sarvamidam Jagat, Mohital Nabijananti, Mam Ivam Param Avyam. Someone who is influenced by the modes of material nature cannot understand Krishna. That means they can't be God if they're influenced by the modes of material nature that God Himself has established. Right? And Krishna explains that Yechaiva Satvika Bhava, Rajasas Tamasas Chaye. Mata eveti tan vidhi natvaham tesutemayi. Know that all states of being, be they of goodness, passion, or ignorance, are manifested by my energy. I am in one sense everything, but I am independent. I am not under the modes of material nature, for they, on the contrary, are within me. So Brigham Muni was a first-class Brahmin. He knew the Vedic literature. He knew this verse. He knew that this is the way to test who is God and who's not God. So then he goes to Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is his brother. And Lord Shiva was so happy to see him. And he said, Brigu, bye. He said, come here, give me a big huggy. And Brigu said, no, I don't want to hug you, man. You got you know, ashes from a crematorium on your body, and you got a necklace of skulls of dead people, and no, and you got devotees that smoke marijuana. No, I don't want to. Lord Shiva was sorely insulted by him. He was going to kill him. And he started to go after him. And his wife, Parvati Devi, grabbed him, fell down on his feet, and begged him not to kill his brother. Only because of that he stopped. Otherwise he would have killed him. Brigham Muni said, I'm wasting my time here too. So he left. Then he went to Vaikuntha. Now, he's not an ordinary person. He can actually go to Vaikuntha. He goes to Vaikuntha, but Vaikuntha in the material world, to Sweta Dweep. Now, the demigods cannot go farther than the shore of the milk ocean. Somehow or other, Brigham Muni had the power to actually cross the ocean and go to the island, the Dweepa, in the milk ocean, and actually see Lord Vishnu. And he was there with Lakshmi Devi. Lakshmi Devi was massaging his feet. It's not Chinese foot massage. Right? Get that out of your mind. It's nothing like that. It's not acupuncture. Right? So anyway, he's massaging the feet. She is. And Lord Vishnu sees Brigham Muni and smiles. And Brigham Muni jumps on his chest. And he jumps so hard that the imprint of his feet are there still today. It's called Sri Vatsa. The imprint of Brigha Muni's feet. And he's standing on top of the Lord looking down on him. Lakshmi Devi was horrified. Lord Vishnu looks up at Brigha Muni and says, "Oh, Brigha Muni, I'm so sorry that my chest is so hard and it might have caused some discomfort to the soft underskin of your feet." Brigha Muni is shocked. He doesn't know, what is this? He didn't expect that. He thought that the Lord would get, because he committed three types of offenses. He committed a mental offense against Brahma. He committed a verbal offense against Lord Shiva. But he committed a physical, bodily offense against Lord Vishnu. That physical, bodily offense is worse, the worst of all of them. Just like someone insults you, you can walk away from it. Someone ignores you, you know they're insulting you, but you can walk away from it. Someone punches you in the face, no, you're not going to walk away from that. You're going to press charges, or you're going to do something in retaliation, right? Lord Vishnu apologizes to him and glorifies him. Why? Om Brahmanya Devaya, Om Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmana Hitaya, Jagat Ditaya Krishnaya, Govindaya Namo Namaha. The Lord is the protector and well-wisher of Brahmins, cows, and all living entities, but especially the Brahmins, sincere Brahmins, not the big fat ones with the Rolex watch and the gold necklace and the BMW, but the genuine Brahmins. He's the protector and the well-wisher, because they are practicing and protecting the Vedic Sanatana Dharma. He apologizes to him. Brigha Muni is shocked. He's embarrassed. He feels ashamed. He jumps off the Lord. He falls down at his feet. He glorifies the Lord. He apologizes. And he goes back to the sages in Namasharanya and the Devas were there also. And he says, "There's no doubt in my mind who's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's Lord Vishnu." That Lord Vishnu appeared in Kali Yuga as Balaji. Right. And they were able to get Balaji to come down on this earth planet and benedict the misfortunate people of this age. Now, that whole story is here in this booklet. There's a lot more to the story. I don't have time to tell it. Right? It's all nectar. It is all nectar. And therefore, Arjuna says to Krishna, he says that Puyo kataya triptir hi chinvata nasti me mritam. He said, "My Lord, I never am satiated hearing about your kata, your pastimes, and your opulences. And the more I hear, the more eager I am to taste this nectar more and more." That should be our motto in life. Vuyo kataya triptir hi chinvato astime mritam. I want this amritam. This is real amrit. It's not wine. It's not even what they drink on the moon. It's the somarasa. It's not the somarasa. It's Krishna or Balaji Katha. That's the real amrita. But you have to develop a taste for it. Just like people develop a taste for different kinds of wine, or a taste for a particular cigarette, or a taste for a certain type of car, or a taste for a certain type of watch, right? We have to develop the taste for amritam, katha, amritam of the Lord. But how you develop the taste? You develop the taste in the company of people who have the taste, who are living. Yeah? Nasta praesu bhagvesu nityam bhagavata sevara. Bhagavati yatama slokate bhaktir bhagavati naistaki. One who is naistaki without any material demands in life, without any other preoccupation other than this supreme vocation of tasting the amrita of the Lord's katha and his pastime. So I'll stop right there. Otherwise, you're going to get carried away. Are there any questions anyone wants to ask? So, one little story and then I'll stop. There was once a sweeper who was a sincere devotee of the Lord, but very humble, not very educated. And he was seeing every day hundreds, sometimes thousands of people are coming to the Lord. And the Lord's standing there all the time, giving darshan. Actually, as we said before, it's not that he's giving his darshan to the people coming, but they're coming to give their darshan to him, right? Why? Because that's their duty, right? Let's say someone never goes to the temple, then that means they're very misfortunate, because they never are able to be accountable to the Lord. But when you go, and the Lord says, ha ha, you finally came. What nonsense have you been doing that you stayed away so long? I'm sorry, my Lord. I was doing nonsense. You're right. I'm going to confess. And I won't do it anymore. Okay? You better chant Hare Krishna. Yes, I will chant Hare Krishna. Follow the regulative principles. Yes, no meat, no fish, no eggs, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit activities outside of marriage. I'll do it. That's not enough. Okay, yeah, I have to always chant my rounds. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram Ram. And I will always listen to the class. I won't buzz off with my mind, with my cell phone or whatever. I'll listen to the class carefully, and I will eat only prasadam, no eggs, no coffee, no tea, only mahaprasadam, and I will do seva. Okay, my boy. Now you be a good boy. Yes, sir. When am I going to see you again? I'm going to come every day for your arti after I finish work. Okay, Haribol, you say, we come to the temple to give our darshan to the Lord so that the Lord can perform his mercy on us, his venkat, free us of our sinful activities, sinful desires. Activities are easy to get free of, but it's the desire to sin that's difficult to get rid of. That can only be purified by regular hearing and chanting and serving of the Lord. Right. So this man was seeing the Lord standing there all the time, and all these people are coming. So one day he said, you know, that's not right that he doesn't have a break. So he went up to the Lord and said, my dear Lord, he said, I'm just a sweeper here. You know, I clean the temple, but it really pains me to see you have to stand there all the time. All these people are coming. Never have a break. Let me take your position for one day. You get some downtime. So the Lord said, because the sweeper was a sincere person, it was a little amusing what he asked. He said, okay, but you have to be very careful. He said, you have to promise me something. He said, yes, my Lord, what is it? I'll give you one day. And it's good that I accept your service, he said, because it's coming from your heart, right? What comes from the heart is different than what comes from the mind. He said, you just stand here. Don't say anything. Just smile. And don't say anything, no matter what happens. He said, yeah, I promise you. So, the Lord transformed him into looking like him, and he took the position, and he stood there. So, people started coming. First guy that came was a rich bunya, a rich businessman. Now, let me ask you the question. How do you think they make so much money? Huh? Do you think they follow all the rules? Well, there are businessmen that are honest and follow them. But the ones that really make a lot of money, they don't follow all the rules. They know how to twist the rules to get what they want. So this man was very, very rich, and he came in, and he gave a nice donation to the Lord, right? And he said, please let my business do better. Right? As if he doesn't have enough money already. So the Lord is just standing there. So thank you very much. You've always answered my prayers in the past. I know you'll answer it this time. And he left, you know, a few dollars or a few rupees or whatever. But he forgot his wallet. And he walks away. Then a poor man comes, and he's been poor all his life. It's the last rupee he has in his pocket. He comes and says, my dear Lord, I don't have very much to give you. I'm not a rich man. I give you whatever I have. He gives his last rupee. He said, it's not for me. I'm not asking for anything. But my kids, they're hungry. My wife, she's in trouble. But whatever you want to do, I accept. He said, thank you very much, Lord. I love you very much. My whole life, I've served you, even though I don't have much. And whatever happens, I accept as your mercy. So he said the prayer with closed eyes. He opens his eyes and he sees the wallet. He said, my Lord, thank you very much. Takes the wallet and he goes. And then a sailor comes and he prays to the Lord and he prayed because he's going to go out on the ship, right? And ships are always dangerous. You don't know what's going to happen in the open sea. He prays to the Lord, please don't let anything happen, you know. And but just then, the rich man comes back looking for his wallet. And he comes back with some policemen. And he sees a sailor there. He says, that's the guy that took it! And, you know, of course, the police are in his pocket, right? So they arrest the sailor. And the sailor said, wait a minute, took what? They said, you stole my wallet. He said, your wallet? I just came here to pray for the apology. What do you mean, your wallet? I don't have it. You can look on me. No, you must have hid it somewhere. So the police are going to arrest him. The sweeper, who has the forehead, he sees it. So when he saw the poor man take the wallet, he wanted to say something, but I didn't give it to you, but he didn't say anything. Now he sees that the sailor is accused of theft and they're going to take him to jail and probably beat the hell out of him. He felt really sorry. No, even though he promised apology, he wouldn't say anything. He starts speaking to the rich man and policeman and said, he didn't take your wallet, it's the poor man that took it. They let the sailor go. And, you know, what poor man? It's a lot of poor men. So they start looking for a poor man, but they don't know who it is. So then Balaji comes back, and he said, how did everything go? He said, my Lord, he said, now I know you got a really hard job. You have to do so many things. People are coming here asking you so many things, and there's so many things you have to see, and you can't say anything. He said, I wouldn't want to have your job. I'm sorry I even asked you. He said, okay, but what happened? Sounds like something happened. He said, well, yes. He said, some rich man came and he asked that his business do better. You know, why is he asking for his business if he's already a rich guy? You know. Anyway, and he gave a few dollars, you know, a few rupees, but he forgot his wallet. Then a poor man came and he gave his last, it looked like he gave his last money, he had one rupee. And he said something about his poor wife and his kids are starving. He's a very sincere guy. And he walked away. But before he walked away, he saw the rich man's wallet. He took it. I wanted to tell him, but he told me to keep my mouth shut. Then a sailor came. He prayed that, you know, nothing happened to him on the high seas. And the police came with the rich man, and they accused the sailor they were going to take him away. I couldn't hold back. I had to tell him that he's not good. Balaji said, why did you do that? You promised me you wouldn't say, well, how can I not say anything? What was going to happen to that sailor? He said, you don't understand anything. What do you mean I don't understand it? I wanted that sailor to be put in jail because his ship is going to sink. Now he's going to go and die. And I wanted the poor man to have the rich man's wallet, because the rich man is rich. He hardly gives any donation at all. He's got billions of dollars. He gives like $5 donation, right? So I wanted him to have some benefit in his life. At least something. He would help somebody else rather than, you know, take their money. But now he's not going to get any benefit at all. And the poor man, I wanted him to have that money because I know he's going to spend it in this, my service, because he has a pure heart. You stopped all these good things from happening because you speculated. You didn't follow my order. And actually, you've done more harm than good. So this is a very important instruction. Why? Because Krishna or Balaji has his plan. And his plan is actually good for everyone. We have to understand how to participate and further his plan rather than interfere with it. Therefore, Krishna says, Ya imam pushpitam vacham, Ya imam paramam bhuyam, Shrinume paramam bhuyam, Bhakti mai kritva, mam raisisya samsaya, Nacha tasman manusyesu, kaschit me priyakritama, Bhavita nacha me tasman, Anya priyataro bhuvi. He said, someone who explains the supreme secret, Bhagavad Gita, to others and instructs them, and teaches them, he becomes he does very meritorious work, and he will come back to me at the end of his life. There's no one in this world more dear to me, nor will there ever be anyone more dear. So if we want to serve the purpose of Balaji, Krishna, or Ram, and actually further his agenda. What is his agenda? He wants all living entities to come back to him. Like, let's say you have sons and daughters and they're all far away from you, and maybe they're in difficulty. You would want them all to come back to you, to live together, work together. Right? Krishna wants everyone to come back to him. We're all his children. We're all his praja. And the way we'll come back is if we hear about him from bona fide source. Bonafide source doesn't say Ayur, Arogya, Aishwarya. No. That's not a blessing. That's increasing our term of being in jail in the material world, because we get puffed up with Ayur, Arogya, Aishwarya, like the rich man. There's nothing wrong with being rich. Maharaj Priyavrata was extremely rich. Maharaj Yudhisthira was extremely rich. Dhruva Maharaj was extremely rich. Bali Maharaj was extremely rich. But they all used their riches in the service of the Lord. And they lived themselves proper life. They had everything they needed. But they were satisfied with minimum things, and they used excess in the service of the Lord. Therefore, they were all liberated at the end of life. They went back to God, all of them. And anybody who follows that simple formula, decide what your level of comfort is, maintain it, and anything above that you use in the service of the Lord. Then you don't have any guilty feelings, like all these very, very wealthy guys, billionaires. It started with Carnegie and other steel barons in the 19th century. They felt guilty that they made so much money building railroads, building steel plants, building shipping companies. So they gave back. And today the same thing is happening. They give back. But what do they give back to? They do some good. But it's not liberating people. The good they do is not liberating people from the cycle of birth and death. It's simply keeping them anchored in the material world, because it's serving the body rather than the soul. Okay, so we'll stop right there. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. The ladies are going to sing something? You want to sing? No.